Okay, we're continuing on the bottom of page Kuf Tzadi Zayin. Just finished talking about how even though we don't know how to create our own holy songs, but we are like the person with the poor vision who can barely see something, and someone with a greater vision is able to tell us what we're seeing, then we can say, yes, I believe you're right, I see this as well. And it begins to open up for you to be able to appreciate exactly that which you are attempting to see. And of course, this assumes that a person is looking and striving to find something. And in his looking, he can be assisted by those that have seen already. So the same thing, when we sing certain praises of Hashem, it's clear that we have to be looking for Hashem. And if we're looking for Hashem, then we can use these praises to help us find Hashem through the vehicle of singing and through that spark of the Nevius that we have that will be able to be attaching itself to that which the greater prophets, the real prophets, were able to comprehend. And that's the way you sing a song to Hashem. Otherwise, you're just saying words to repeat words over that were said thousands of years ago. It's not a great thing. So even though we said earlier that a person can be relating praises to Hashem, and then there's a person who's singing, and it's like he's bringing the light from far away and bringing it to himself. So although we can't bring the light per se, but the tzaddikim, the neviim, could bring that light. And if we share their words, then where they drew from very high up is a place where we can draw from. It's the same place we're drawing from. They're drawing from the world of Atzilus. We can draw from the world of Atzilus. Of course, they draw in a much bigger way, and we can barely draw anything. But the fact that we sing those very same words that drew them to Atzilus, so we can do the very same thing in a little bit of a way. So that's really the value of singing these kinds of songs. And it goes without saying that they have to be sung in a fashion in which David HaMelech would be pleased with the type of beat and niggin that David HaMelech would have used and others like himself. Okay. We're now going to begin the third section of this essay, which, in a sense, is like a shira itself from the Rebbe. He's going to give us a good example now, where he's talking about being able to see and being able to look for and having a certain amount of machshava while using the tools of the singing and the physicality of it all. So here's a very good example of that kind of machshava we should be having about 4.5 weeks from now. So we'll begin at the beginning of Kuf Tzadi Zayin. Yav Chag HaPesach. And let's take a look at the holiday of Pesach. Shabo Iker Hashira Bolel Pesach. The primary song that we sing is on the night of Pesach. What do we know? Says in the Agoda, Shekol HaMarbe L'Saper B'Yitzias Mitzrayim, anyone who increases his relating over of the story of Egypt, Hareze Mishubach, this is praiseworthy. Ukedi'isa B'Zohar HaKadosh, as we find in the Zohar HaKadosh next page, that in such a night, Shekodesh Baruch Hu Imkol HaFamalia Delay, that Hashem with all his retinue of angels, Boing lishmoa eshiras Yisrael b'shivcha Hashem b'leil zeh. They all come to hear the song of the Jewish people of praises to Hashem on this night. V'chein yamim achronim shel Pesach b'shiras hayom. And also on the last days of the holiday when we sing the shira at the sea, Hashem comes and his angels come to hear our holy song. U'mikol makom. Im gam esnav shel Verucho lo ye'orer b'shira, but if his soul, if his nefesh and his ruach don't arouse themselves in song, simcha v'nitzotz b'nei ha'nevim shebo, which is that joy and that spark of the children of Nevim that's in himself, if you can't arouse that in yourself, lo yede mahu leil Pesach, he really doesn't know what the night of Pesach is all about. What's the mitzvah so much to talk so much about going out of Egypt? And to increase on this so much. It's enough with two or three words. Thank you, God, for taking us out of Egypt. Zweigesund, let's eat. Right? That's all. Whatever, spend so long saying that Agora, going on and on and on and on. I heard this last year. Umayu achila asher b'emsa, and person, you know, doesn't understand what's this eating in the middle of the Seder. I think nowadays, what's this reading in the beginning and the end of our Seder? They look at the Seder as the meal. What are we interrupting with the meal? But right, the Rebbe is not going to see my people that are that far off. And what's v'hagodah mulfanev, v'hagodah macharel? What's the idea of saying v'hagodah beforehand and reading from the v'hagodah afterwards? V'lamod makdimi mes ha'halel b'mariv k'shoyim esal seder. And also, why do we say halel in shul by mariv? According to the Hasidim, they'd say halel in shul by mariv. When we're going to say it anyway at the Seder. Isn't that an interesting phenomenon? We're going to say halel at the Seder. Say the whole halel at the Seder. So what does the Hasidim do? They say halel, you know, after Shmon Esh, after Marv, before Aleinu, we say the whole halel. So, you know, if you don't arouse yourself through singing and to arouse that spark of the prophecy that's in you, you're not going to really understand, you know, you're not going to feel, what are you doing? You don't understand all these rituals. You know, the Rebbe Rashab, one of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, says, you know, a person who's a chitzoni all year long, a person who's a superficial Jew all year long, and he doesn't train himself to look deeper into the details of Avodas Hashem. So when Pesach comes, you know, I mean, there is tremendous holy energy that comes on the Seder night. Unbelievable holy energy on the Seder night. So what happens to that energy? So he's using an expression. He says, the light of Hashem, he says, is makif. It surrounds the person, but it doesn't fill the person. Because he's not an ish panimi. He's not an inwardly focused person. And that's what the Rebbe is saying over here. The Rebbe is saying if a person, you know, doesn't get, if you're not used to looking into what the reality is over here and trying to use some machshava, some thought to realize what is going on and thereby expressing the tool of shira, then you're not feeling the whole experience over here. You're missing out on the whole experience. So that's what he's gonna tell us in the next paragraph. Aval isha Yisraeli. But a Jewish person, shigam b'chol hashana yesh lo zmanim shenafsho misoreres misalom mistakeles. If he, and also a whole year long, there are times he sets aside and he arouses himself and he elevates himself, and from that higher vantage point he's able to look down. V'hu es ma'oros nafsho margish. And when he and the things that, the events that happen around his soul, he senses. Avo besichlo yoliere ma'argish. But he may not understand, feel it with his intellect. Right? I mean, he'll feel something. His soul will definitely feel something. But his intellect doesn't know what he felt. And after he comes down from that elevated state, and he takes a break from that excitement, even then, lo yasik b'daito mahu samara shero ra visaniko kachmenu. He won't be able to intellectually understand what this was. What was the essence of the vision that he saw that he took such pleasure and delight in? Ki yichola regila nafshel liyisalos v'lahalos gam oso l'malam matzov l'havit l'malam v'chisei ha'olam. Because his soul was able and is accustomed to elevating itself and to elevate the person, right, higher and higher from his normal state, and to look above from the covers of this earth. So a regular Jew who's able to do this, who's able to touch into his soul, and he's able to go beyond, and he's able to feel something, but go ask his seichel to explain it. He can't explain what went on at all. I can't describe it in words, can't explain it afterwards. But it's a person who all year long tries for these things, and he tries to bring out the soul. Such a person will be able to appreciate what the Seder night's all about. So us be scar if you may a Pesach. So when the days of Pesach come along, when they get close, yomim she'enam besod yomais oylam hazeh, days that they are not grounded in the realities of this world's days. These are days from the beyond. The root of Pesach are days from the beyond. Be scar if yomim she'em shaloira. when those days of light come close. Shel simcha v'shiras Gan Eden, their days of joy and the songs of Gan Eden. Kaneshama b'marom, just like the soul above, gam nafsho ato, so too the lower level of soul now, el Gan Eden sho efes, is yearning for this Gan Eden, v'la pesach mishtekekes, and it's yearning, it's longing for Pesach. So just like the neshama above that you're not in touch with is longing for Pesach, but the truth is the lower levels of your soul are also longing for Pesach. Yom v'yom hu miskarev, every day he's getting closer. Gufo kvar mechlin bepoel es tzorche v'chashus achag. The body already is preparing actively the needs and the kashrus of the holiday. You're busy. You're busy cleaning. All that stuff you're doing, buying the Pesach food. Your physical body is already engaged well before Pesach. Right? V'nafshu kvar mischamemes keneged oro hamafim erachok. And the nefesh, your soul, is beginning to warm up opposite that light that's beginning to shine from a distance. The light's coming. And that's warming up the person. Ukvar higia el bedikas chametz. He's already come to the night before Pesach. It's bedikas chametz. Tricha rishona al miftan achag. It's the first step crossing the threshold of this holiday. I mean, really, we're supposed to start preparing right after Purim. Moreover, says 30 days before the holiday, we begin to learn about the holiday. So Purim is 30 days before the holiday. So you gotta start learning. You gotta start learning about the Haggadah. You gotta start learning the halachas of Pesach. You gotta understand all the topics involved in Pesach, the concepts involved in Pesach. Everyone learning according to their level. But you're starting right after Purim. Because the light's already beginning to shine. You're getting yourself ready for the holiday. Right? That's, you're thinking about it. You're focused about it. You just don't, you know, wake up, the night of the Seder and just open up the Haggadah and start reading. You know, that's going to get you nowhere. And therefore, you know, the rabbis understood, you got to start a full month beforehand and really get into the learning and get yourself totally focused on this. Now, what are we supposed to try to be feeling out of this? So this is where the Rebbe goes to the mystical understanding, a little bit of what Pesach is all about, to appreciate what's happening over here. She says, Kidoshenu Zichrono Levracha Amru, our holy teachers, told us Shechag Pesach hu bechinas ahava, that the holiday of Pesach is the aspect of love. This is what Pesach is. That's the whole holiday of Pesach. As we've said many times, that Pesach is also called Shabbos, and Shabbos and Pesach have in common the idea of the itaruta dila'ela, the arousal from above. Hashem just pours into you abundance of love. Just gives as much as he can on Pesach. It's, you know, just like you sense, you know, the Zohar says you're dining at Hashem's table, you're mamish with Hashem. Hashem wants to give you all kinds of spiritual kochos, spiritual strengths. Hashem gives you a vision of what you can really be on the Seder night. How great you can be. You go to the highest levels you can in terms of being conscious of, to some extent, of what the spiritual potential you have. And you feel it and taste it on the Seder night if it's prepared properly. And we see historically all the love that Hashem has showed. The fact he took us out of Egypt is an abundance of love. And all the different miracles that have historically happened on the 15th of Nisan, going back to Avram Avinu with his war over the four kings, and all the different great miracles that happened on that night. It's a tremendous showering of Hashem's love just penetrating into the world. That's what Pesach is. It's the holiday of Avram, Avram's chesed, Avram's love, each one of the three regalim. The three holidays are represent one of the patriarchs. So clearly he's the holiday of love. It's Avram. Avram's everything in this. So that's what it is. The ish belave autumn, a person with a heart that's stopped up, enclosed. So what does he do when he hears this? He sits intellectually, he tries to figure out a reason, an illogical explanation, why it's dafka ava, why it's love and not something else. But the truth of the matter is, he doesn't have to look and investigate and search out any hints and any gematrias and any this and any that. Because the truth is, if a person really knew what he was doing, clearly he feels in his heart all the mitzvahs of Pesach and why we're so careful and so meticulous. He senses what's going on. If you're in touch with your neshama, you don't need to know any of the intellectual stuff to really get in touch. But it's like this. He says, "Lo bavad kemelech shegoz al avodav." It's not merely alone the concept of a king who decrees on his servants to do such a thing. It's to be understood as a father who hugs his little child. And because of his tremendous love and affection that he has for his child, he coaxes the child. He says, "Please, could you do this? Please, could you do this?" You know, when a father's hugging his kid and asks him to do something, the kid doesn't feel like it's an order from a king. It's coming from the love that the father has for the child, and the child wants to show to the love, to the father. Va'bein b'chol kocho rotz, and the son, with all his strength, he runs. Osa umabir al aviv, he does, and he looks at his father. Vein daito miskareres bas Yosef, and his thoughts aren't getting cold from his actions, because as their actions mean avav yiras hakavod, they come from love and awe of the awesome honor and glory of Hashem. Umosif va'atzmut v'rim kemitzvos b'mitzvos aviv, and he increases in himself things beyond what the father commanded. And sameach oisa umosif ava, he rejoices, he does, and he increases out of love. If you really love someone, you don't do exactly what they say. You do more than what they say. You don't wait to get the order. If I know that they want that, I'll even do more, because I know that's along the same lines that they want. That's real love. Right? I know you'd be shocked if your kids ever did that. Right? It's we're a bit far away from this. Even in the emotional that he's giving. But there are times that when we sense a love to somebody, we don't wait to be told. We do things without waiting. We do more than what's asked. If you really felt that love, that's how you would ask. Yeah, you would act. So therefore, that's what the Rebbe's explaining. He's saying, "B'chol hachanas haPesach, with all the preparations that are involved in Pesach, hosif chumros v'dikduke dinim, the child adds stringencies and meticulous areas of the law beyond what Hashem told us what to do." A lot of things that we do, Hashem never told us we have to do them. We go way, way beyond all kinds of chumras, all kinds of stringencies, unbelievable. Hashem never told us to do this. But we do this either as the Chazal told us to do, or we as Yidden developed certain customs amongst ourselves, and in every home there would be customs that are way beyond what was asked. And why do we do all these extra chumras? Because his soul is able to feel the love of his father in heaven, and the loving eyes, the eyes of compassion that are looking down upon him, and everything he does. He's doing it for a loving God, and therefore he wants to do as much as he can, and even more than he has asked for. So that's, you know, that's why, because since Pesach is the time of the greatest love of the whole year, you know, lahavdol, you always have, you know, you take such a holy aspect, and now you understand the non-holy aspects. Right? There are these expressions, you know, these feelings in the secular world, you know, romance in the spring. this whole idea of spring romances, right? Right. There was even a song, I think, you know, Paris in the springtime. It's an old one. Maybe Sammy will know this one. I know my parents, all of a sudden, they, you know, when we had the records still, you know, and they brought home, like, this was in the 64. They bring the records, you know, I love Paris in the springtime. I love Paris, you know, Paris in the spring. That Narishkeit sticks in my head. Like, you know, first impressions. It's big, big record player, like huge, you know, big record player. And, you know, it's amazing. You could make noise out of it. It's like unbelievable. Right? Yeah, but I remember, so the non-Jewish world has this idea, like romance in the springtime. You know, and then you get married in the summer, you know, whatever. It's this, that whole idea of springtime and it's just pervasive. You know, the whole world comes alive. You know, you look outside and everything looks dead. Trees are dead. You know. But you know, if you're in Eretz Yisrael, in Canada it's a little harder to feel this. And there it's just, oh, it's coming very soon. You're gonna see the leaves start coming out. The greenery is starting to look green again. You sense Hashem's giving to the world. The gifts are coming. The love is coming. It's getting warmer. It's getting more pleasant. The most beautiful time in the year in Eretz Yisrael is Pesach. It's unbelievable. You just feel, if you're just in touch with your five senses, you feel Hashem's giving you a hug. You know, those cold, biting cold winters in Yerushalayim, you know, the cold Jerusalem stone, and then all of a sudden it's coming April, it's coming Nisan, all of a sudden it's warming up, it's beautiful, it's so comfortable, you feel Hashem's putting his arm around you and warming you up with his hands, and he's giving you gifts, beautiful flowers, he's giving you flowers all over the place, your mamish sense that love even on a physical level. So when you are in love, you never look for the easy way out. You always want to find more ways to show that you love Hashem. And as I said, it doesn't take a lot to fulfill your biblical requirements for the Seder, but we do more and more, you know, even after the Seder. I mean, who says you have to say such a long Haggadah? You know, but the rabbi said, this is what you have to say, you have to say such a Haggadah, and talk more and more, and talk even after you finish the Seder. You know, it says in the back, right? And there are those who say, Shir Hashir, Gevalt. I'm exhausted. I had to say, I'm going to start sharing. I'm going to start 10 chapters singing songs to Hashem. But if you love somebody, since when do you stop? You know, go back, you know, go back. Remember when you were in love with your spouses, you really were enamored with your spouses. Whatever you did wasn't enough. You did more and more and more. And, you know, Yoitze was just a chasana. You went for a trip afterwards. You did things. And you'd want to bring flowers. Now you'd be reminded to bring flowers. Right? It's you wanted to, because when you're in love, there's no rationale for it. Like the Rambam talks about someone who should be in love with Hashem. He says, they use the analogy of physical love. Well, your mom is meshuga. You're meshuga out of love for that person. And when you're meshuga in love for a person, you just do things. You don't wait to be told. So that's why we have all these chumras. All these chumras. It wasn't the rabbis who said, we're gonna make your life miserable and wear you out by Pesach and all the different things that are just so many stringencies well above and beyond. I mean, if you want, you could be yoytzi, just make a beetle chametz, just say, I nullify all my chametz and finish, I gotta check any chametz. Right? Just say, you come here for Pesach, say, any chametz in the house, I nullify it, finished, so I get benched. And that's it. We're spending a month before, we're going through the drawers, and we're looking here, we're looking there, we're looking everywhere. You know, they didn't say you gotta do that. But Klal Yisrael understood, when you feel the love from Hashem, whatever I do isn't enough. And you always come up with the kidneys, the legumes. There's no way to chametz. Maybe, efshir. Possible, maybe, once in a while, could have, maybe, one piece of wheat, you know, inside of a bean. I mean, You're not gonna have that anymore. You're not gonna have it, but we're so makbid on legumes and liquid derivatives from legumes. To such an extent to be machmer like this. So when you talk to less spiritual people, they make jokes of this. They ridicule this. You know, but they wouldn't make jokes. But all of a sudden when you wanna send your wife flowers for no reason, nobody laughs at that. Why are you doing that? Why not? I love her. So why are you being makbid? Why are you so particular on kidneys in soda? Why not? I love Hashem. What are you talking about? I want to show him how much I don't want to be near chametz. I'm going to be so careful. I don't want to be near chametz at all. Right? I don't want to be chas v'shalom. Maybe. No, nothing at all. So it's not to be looked at as a ridiculous thing. It's how can I show how much I love what Hashem is doing for me right now? That's what all the chumras are about. Okay, so let's continue. Gam b'makom shemachnisim. Whether it's places where we normally put chametz, whether it's places we don't normally put chametz, right? He's checking all of them. The truth is, if he could, the person wishes he could put his whole body into the cracks and corners when he's looking for the chametz. He wishes he could just put his whole being into that crack to look for the chametz. He jumps on top of the stove. And he lowers himself and he pushes himself to go under the bed to look for some chametz over there. Why? Because his heart is longing. And his intellect is not cooled off. He's hot to trot. Umeata. And at this point in the game, at Bedikas Chametz ready, it's very hard for him to talk about anything that doesn't have to do with Pesach. Lahachin ala Pesach, to prepare for the Pesach. Lahagil hakelim, to kosher the utensils. Liknei small Pesach, what to buy for Pesach. Zel kol diburov umach shavoysov, that's all his words and thoughts. The kula kvar shakua pa Pesach. He's totally submerged in Pesach. Umosif atol lil modine Pesach, and he increases now to learn all the laws of Pesach. In yon of their contents, remaz of their hidden symbolisms, rimze haseder, the hints of what the seder is all about. Umemayer lishkav, and he quickly goes to bed at night. The lokum, and to get up very early. Lisrif hachametz, to burn the chametz, v'al kulam, and on top of all that, lafias hamatzas mitzvah, and then to bake the matzahs on Erev Pesach, when they used to do that. Right? Yesh lo kfar matzah b'beis. And as a matter of fact, he already has matzah in the house. He already ordered a month ago from Sobeys, he got the matzah. Avshal shmurni has shmura matzahs. But he knows, avol bizman shebeis hamigdash hayakayim, but in the time of the beis hamigdash was up, ubeflatrin hamelech darnu, and when we lived in the palace of the king with a beis hamigdash, banu b'shazo elhecha katsho v'kravdin lo karban, we came at that time to the courtyard of his holy courtyard, v'kravdin lo karban, and we brought an offering, as hod kedushas avinu malkenu ayin ba'ayin ra'inu, and the glory of the holiness of our father, our king, we would see eyeball to eyeball. V'yachad im chavatzeles ha-sharon k'nesis Yisrael, together with the rose of the Sharon, meaning to say the Jewish people, b'amorom above, shira sharnu, next page, we sang a song. Right? That's what we did when it was a Beis HaMikdash. We brought our korban, brought a little animal. We brought him up to the Beis HaMikdash with hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of other Jews. We sang our song, V'Halel El Melech HaKovet Zimarnu, and we sang the praises of our revered king. Yeah?
Can you explain how much, over a bonding lev, and you go 1,000% more than you have to and all that stuff? I remember in the youth, when you had that first line, and somebody goes like overly crazy, calling you 10 times a day, carrying your books, and it's in your face all the time, you don't consider that love. It makes you sick. I mean, you go, you're leaving me alone. If somebody goes like over the, if you're like that first relationship and somebody goes over the wall, always wants to be around you, never wants to leave you alone, and always asking where are you, and like always wants to be in that overwhelming, you know, you're the only one for me and you're my everything, it turns you off. It's not love at all. It's like, well, for most people, it's like...
Did you ask your wife that question?
We never did. We got married, we met when we were more mature, and we fell in love, but we fell with immature love, and we still have it to today.
Okay, but we would hope that you, even with a mature love, you would be offering to do things that are way beyond what the person's asking you to do. That really is a reflection of the love that you have for people. Usually what happens as marriages progress, the husbands are usually trying to avoid doing things. and you know, wife has to say, "Hey, another job we got to do. Another, making me crazy, right?" So you know, but there's something missing with that love. If you really, really love somebody, there's no end to what you're offering to do that person. You know, and the truth is, there is a certain beauty to love at a young age. I mean, a mature love, sometimes, you know, you can be so matured out of so many relationships. I'm not saying you, I'm just saying, you can be so matured out of relationships that the joie de vivre of relationships is gone. Right? That's one of the problems with the free society that we have. There's been no mystery to relationships anymore. By the time the kid is 15, he slept with the half of the school. So there's no, okay, maybe 17, half the school, right? There's no mystery to relationships anymore. So you're not able to love anymore. If a person,
what's the book, Doesn't Anybody Blush Anymore?
Yeah, if a person lives with a certain sneers, and a boy doesn't talk to girls, and he keeps himself away from this, and then when it's time, at the right age, he goes out, and then he falls in love with a person for the first time, right? That's the real thing. That's the real thing. It's unbelievable. A mature love, but you haven't polluted your sensitivities. You know, these things are capable of happening and should be happening, and there should be a constant love with that. So, but that's really what's normal. But unfortunately, we don't see a lot of real love anymore. We don't see a real lot of love anymore. So now, but we're back to the Beis HaMikdash. Picturing ourselves, and that's why those have the custom to read. It's in some of the Haggadahs, the custom to read the entire process of what it was to bring a Korban Pesach on Erev Pesach. You know, again, we come back to the same thing, right? And we talked about it on the Sunday class. Whenever you come to a very, very potentially powerful spiritual moment, the Yetzer Hara has guns ablazing to draw you out of that. You know, the preparations for Pesach are supposed to be done by Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach, it should be a very calm and relaxed day. Very calm and relaxed day. You know, after you've burned the chametz, table set.
Take a nap. Yeah.
You know, and you start read the Haggadah. Read the Haggadah. Take a nap. For sure, take a nap. You got to be up all night.
Take a nap.
That's the night. That's the night that, according to the real Misora, you should be up the whole night.
Right. Rabbi Akiva was up the whole night.
That's really, it's more of a chiyuv to be up the whole night of Pesach than to stay up the whole night of Shavuos. They're both customs. But in terms of a stronger custom, it's a much stronger custom to be up the whole night of Pesach. Because that we have Chazal. The Haggadah says, Kol Amar V'Lasaper, the more you talk, the better, more praiseworthy you are.
Right.
And the first story, how the five rabbis were up all night. So clearly, you know, it's when you're in love with somebody, you know. Place, you know, husband and wife on their wedding night. The guy calls it an early night. I'm tired. It's been a rough wedding. You know, I'll see you in the morning.
Turning it in.
You know, I mean, I would assume not. I would assume not. Right? There's a lot of excitement in the air. So Pesach, it's unbelievable. Hashem's coming down. And he's showering you with love. And you're with Hashem with all that love, waiting on a call at night. You know, you know, that's why you got to take a good nap in the afternoon, a couple hours.
A good nap.
So you can be up for the rest of the night. Make preparations, go through the Haggadah. Again, you don't have to have, you know, unbelievable Dvar Torahs. It's mamish. It's just simple. Just read the story as if you were there. You know, you don't have to be a genius. Just read it. Read it slowly. Understand every word. Reflect it. And you could do, you know, very straightforward. Talk to your kids about it. Tell them we were all there. It was amazing and this and that. You know, and the truth is, it's up to every parent to devise what aspects he thinks we're going to speak to his children and speak to himself. And that God is just an outline. It's an outline to follow, but not, you know, it's, and the truth of the matter is, you know, although the outline is a good outline and it's a good guide, but you're free to venture into territories that are beyond the guidelines. Well beyond the guidelines, if that will make you feel closer to Hashem. You can't make up new things. But as long as you're staying within those guidelines, that's a very beautiful thing. Yeah. Yeah.
So the whole concept of love is it's something that you add, because what you're saying is not in the Haggadah, but it's like it's something that we add to get closer to Hashem. Because in the Haggadah,
it's not that
the love theme, that it's not the main thing. It's about this appearance.
But what story are you telling? You're telling a story of how your hero,
freedom.
How your hero saved you. Imagine a damsel in distress, right? A damsel in distress, and the knight in shining armor took her out. So that's what Hashem was, so to speak. He's like the knight in shining armor. We can't. You tell the story. That's because when you love someone, you shower praises. It's all praises to Hashem, from start to finish. The whole animamins, if you look carefully, the whole Yetzias Mitzrayim, all the animamins come out of that. And you just go through it, but you're telling it over mamish like a story, like it happened to you, like mamish it happened to you, and it is happening to you in ways beyond going out of Egypt. Right, and then, of course, you got all the songs and all those things. Remember, these are all lower level activities. It's not a time to show off your complicated Dvar Torahs, these Haggadahs that go through complex aspects. They're very, very ingenious. That's not what the Seder night's for. Seder night is not. If you look, basically, what's the Seder night? We talked about this on Shabbos Haggadah Drush once. It's all there to touch the senses. The senses are touched over and over and over. The foods you eat, to eat bitter moror, right? With charoses and to eat so much of that moror, right? And to eat the matzah, the crunching of the matzah, all those things, and the singing and every step of the way, you know, picking up an air, you know, looking at the items on the Ka'ara. There's so much physical because we're trying to wake up that lower nefesh. The singing, we're trying to wake up the ruach. How much neshama are we involving? How much real deep intellectual thinking are we doing at the Seder? It's not a time for deep intellectual thoughts. It's
not the holiday.
It depends. But that, because that's what we're trying to tap into, from that lower level to move higher. Clear. And that's why when it talks about all the halachas, it's like, you know, vigarata labincha, tell it over to your child. And if there's nobody to say the manishtana, the halacha is you say the manishtana. Why? Because what you have to do on the Seder is talk to the childlike quality that's within you. Go back to Pesach like when you were a child. You look at the kids. The kids love the Seder. They mamish love it. They learn to not like it by the way we teach it to them. When we say, okay, we got to hurry up now. It's getting late. You know, the adults, you know, you get burnt out, right? I did the Seder 30 times already, you know. And the kids that are so full of excitement because they're so raw. They're raw. They're pure neshamas. It's easier for their neshamas to sense what's going on than your old frayed neshama. It's got so much junk on top of it. And the kid's saying, you know, I got another Dvar Torah. Another guy says, Shoyin Genigmat, the Dvar Torah, let's move on already. Right? And they sense, oh, you know, Abba really isn't as excited as I am. Right? So then they learn, they grow up, they mature, and they have to put up with the Seder like you put up with the Seder. You know, but you can't do that. You gotta remember, you're still a kid too. You gotta talk to the kid. When we talk to the kid, you don't get into complex divrei Torahs. The kid, it's simple. You just tell over the story. Tell over the story. But real. And like, it's unbelievable. And that's all you really need to do. And that'll make it easier for you to get in touch with your neshama in that area. Right? So we remembered we had a Beis HaMikdash. Va'ato ha'kol nilkach mi'itonu. And now everything's been taken away from us. But you were then our father and you are now. As avaso, his love, as yiraso, and his awe. Mina eish, mina cherav, hitzalnu, bilibenu, tamanu. You saved us from the fire, you saved us from the sword. And you're hidden, and in our hearts he's hidden. Ves halo kamomu lifnim. And just like the halo we sang when we entered the base of English, gam atol afon of shir, nashir. We're gonna sing right now before Hashem. La velus laatzus misareta. Not mourning and not sadness is aroused by us now. Raka guyim el riyas hod kedushaso. But rather yearning and longing to see the glory and the grandeur of His Holiness. Vel mishkan kvodam ayaz misarim banu. Arouses within us to see and sense that divine presence that rests within us. Okay, we're going to have to stop here. We're in the middle of his dissertation. It's a long one. Hopefully tomorrow we'll be able to wrap it up. Okay, middle of Yud.